like to be financially free, but you just don't know how to make it happen? Well, stay tuned to find out. I am Rob West. Knowing and doing are two different things. I'll let you know how to be financially free today, but doing it, that's up to you. And like most things, you have to want to do it. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, first I have to say that you never want to be financially independent from God. He owns everything and He's your provider. But you do want to be financially free to serve God more fully. Now, those who've achieved that know there's one absolute requirement for financial freedom, and that's learning how to live not just within your means, but actually below your means, and to do it for a long time. Certainly, that will require doing certain things, which we'll get into in a bit, but achieving financial freedom actually begins with a mental exercise. You need to change your thinking. Why do most diets fail? It's because they're based on deprivation. As you restrict your calories, you feel deprived. And you can only tolerate that for so long before you plow into a box of donuts. Living on a budget works the same way. If you feel financially deprived, you'll eventually start to overspend again. It's the opposite of contentment. Why might someone feel financially deprived? Well, the Bible gives us several reasons: greed, envy, or covetousness, a lack of faith in God to provide, or any combination of those. But no matter the reason, it makes living on a budget difficult when it should be easy. The solution begins with developing a sense of gratitude for what God has already provided. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Next, you must believe that you can learn to live below your means. It might be a challenge and you'll probably have setbacks, but keep at it, cutting expenses as necessary. Okay, so much for the thinking part. Now it's time to get your hands involved. Here are some tips for staying on budget. First, you must have margin. That's money left over at the end of the month. You no doubt have several fixed bills that come in every month and you pay them without thinking. But start thinking about them. Is there a way to lower your mortgage payment? Maybe by getting rid of PMI. Can you reduce your heating or cooling bill? Maybe get rid of streaming apps you don't use much. Don't take those bills for granted. Sometimes all you have to do is ask. Did you know you can actually negotiate things like medical bills and household repairs? You might say, "Is that the best you can do?" You might get a discount. It certainly doesn't cost you anything to ask. By the way, it's easier to stay on budget if you actually watch what you spend instead of having a lot of stuff happen on autopilot. Download the FaithFi app to set up your budget. It will then track all of your spending and likely reveal things you can easily cut, like those streaming apps I mentioned. That alone could save you a few hundred dollars a year. Now, there's another tried and true way you can avoid feeling deprived by your budget, and that's by rewarding yourself. You want to celebrate small victories along the way to financial freedom. At the end of a successful week of staying on budget, treat the family to ice cream. After you have $1,000 in your emergency fund, maybe go out to dinner. The idea is that it's okay to splurge now and then, just not all the time. The same way, try to spread out your spending for things like having your nails done. Instead of every 4 weeks, can you go every 6 weeks? At $25 a pop, you'll save around $100 a year. If you're paying to keep stuff in one of those you store it places, get rid of it. You can cut that cost and bring in more money by selling it. For most things, if you haven't used it in a year, you probably don't need it. Every little bit helps. Okay, if you do all of those things, you've trimmed your budget as much as possible, and you're still having trouble living below your means, well, you'll need to increase those means. So look for ways to add to your income. Consider taking on a side job. After all, we're still in a gig economy. You could also consider picking up extra hours at your current job or even ask for a raise. You might be surprised at the outcome. So that's how you can learn to live below your means and start the process of becoming financially free to serve God more fully. We hope you'll let us know how it works out because we'd love to hear your stories. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When people daydream about the future, most often they're hoping for things they want to happen, what their lives may look like in the future. On the flip side, thinking about death, most would say, is not a great way to spend your time. But if you belong to Jesus, then even when that day comes, it's not the day of death, but the day of new life. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, "But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness." And so if Christ is in you, then His resurrection life will one day become your resurrection life. And that is something to look forward to and think about. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll talk with Dr. E. Calvin Beisner of the Cornwall Alliance about the population control movement and the problem of underpopulation.
Having plenty of children is itself an expression of faith that God has a future for this world and for the church of which I am a part.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Well, I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the Bible through cover to cover? Well, if you haven't done it, I recommend it. When you look at the scope of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see a lot of recurring themes. One of those is the concept of abundance. Now, the dictionary defines abundance as the condition of being in rich supply. Who wouldn't want to be in God's rich supply? Unfortunately, time after time in Scripture, we read of God's people rejecting His abundance and running after worldly pleasures or selfish desires instead. From the beginning, God's plan was for His creation to experience abundance. God created an Eden to be a place of abundance. He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Unfortunately, they rejected abundance by disobeying God. Well, later, God rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt and led them to a new place of abundance, a land filled with milk and honey. Over time, God's people got complacent and rebellious. We read this, you know, over and over in the Old Testament. They were worshiping pagan gods, and worse, they lost their abundance again and ended up in exile. You see, this cycle happens over and over, and as people traded God's blessings for their own convenience, greed, and sin, that seems to be the story of our time as well, doesn't it?
Finally, God's promises of abundance reach their fulfillment in Christ, who says that in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You see, Jesus sealed that promise by dying on the cross, taking our sin, disobedience, and shame on himself. His resurrection broke the power of death once and for all. Now you and I can live abundantly without fear. Now, of course, the story of God's abundance doesn't end with our redemption. Jesus promised his followers that he would return in glory. In John 14:3, he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So Christians look forward to Jesus' return and ultimately to eternal blessings in heaven. Now, in Psalm 66:12, it says, "We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." The psalmist was referring to God leading Israel into the promised land, but the same goes for God's people today. Heaven is our promised land, and we look forward to enjoying God's abundance there. Now, that's the good news. You see, whether or not you've read through the whole Bible, you can still experience God's abundance today, and it really has nothing to do with how much money you have. In Christ, we can all experience God's love, his amazing grace, his complete peace, and the hope of heaven. Our gratitude for these blessings should stimulate our praise and our desire to serve and help others too. So I hope maybe today you reflect just a bit on God's gift of abundance as you think about it, search the scriptures, and live in the reality of it. All right, let's get going today. We're going to begin in Texas. Lupe, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi there. How can we serve you?
So I am 61 years old, and I want to file for Social Security at 62, but I have so much credit card debt and loan debt, I'm thinking about filing bankruptcy. And I just wonder what your take is on that. I looked up your credit counseling thing, but they don't take care of one of my loans, so I didn't go any further with them.
Okay.
Isn't it Trinity?
Well, Trinity is one of the underwriters here. The one that we're most familiar with at Faith and Finance Live is Christian Credit Counselors. We just have a longstanding relationship. Both wonderful organizations. You can't go wrong. So you could certainly reach out as an alternative to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's Christian Credit Counselors. Social Security benefits are considered exempt assets, typically. I'm not an attorney, so you'd want to check with an attorney. But just generally speaking, they're protected from creditors during bankruptcy. So if you were forced into bankruptcy for whatever reason, you won't find that word in the Bible. What you do find is that we need to have an absolute commitment to repayment within what has been provided to you. And I realized, despite the decisions that have been made leading up to this point, the question is, how can you manage what God has entrusted to you, the assets that you have and the income you have, and how do you use that to both satisfy the obligations you have as well as, you know, meet your basic needs, you know, keep food on the table, gas in the car, the utilities paid, and a roof over your head. I mean, once we get past those big four, then everything else should be negotiable as you try to honor your obligations and give to the Lord and balance your budget. So what I would do, Lupe, is reach out to ChristianCreditCounselors.org just as an alternative. Perhaps they could help you work up a budget and think about how you can begin to get on a path to pay back those credit cards over time. The benefit of a debt management program is those interest rates are dropped. You send one level monthly payment. They'll work with you to make sure it fits into your budget, or they won't put you in the program. But if it does, then at least every month now you're making more meaningful progress toward paying it back because of the lower interest rates. Apart from that, you could visit with a certified Christian financial counselor. We have some of them available on our website. You could also visit with a godly bankruptcy attorney just to see whether that is necessary just from a legal standpoint. But does that make sense?
What do you mean by a godly bankruptcy attorney?
I mean an attorney who specializes in bankruptcy, who's a Christ follower. And you certainly can find attorneys. And again, you won't find bankruptcy in the Bible. It's a modern legal term that was created. And many Christ followers find themselves because of any number of circumstances, whether it was lifestyle spending, poor choices, or just unforeseen events out of their control, where they're forced into bankruptcy for protection. But they often will go on to come up with a plan to repay those obligations, you know, after the fact. And you're not precluded from doing that. But that's all I mean is just a Christ follower who shares your values and priorities as a believer, who is an attorney and who is has skills and competencies in the area of bankruptcy. Perhaps you could reach out to your church and see if there's one in your local fellowship. So hopefully that helps you, Lupe. Again, that website, ChristianCreditCounselors.org, and we appreciate you being a part of the program today. By the way, here at Faith and Finance, we want to not only give you godly counsel on this program each day, but we want to help you find a community of godly folks who can come alongside you, because we realize that part of your stewardship journey is seeking that wise counsel along the way. That can come in many forms. It can come just the way I mentioned a moment ago to Lupe. If you're in credit card debt, reaching out to our friends at Christian Credit Counselors. If you need help with you know, making sure you have offset the cost of healthcare and you can do that in a way that's affordable, Christian Healthcare Ministries can be a great resource. If you're looking for a professional advisor, think financial planning, investment management, accounting, insurance, estate planning, and you want somebody who shares your values, who's met high standards in character and competency, and they've had a pastoral reference and a client reference and a regulatory review, well, that's the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. It's our go-to here for godly professionals that can serve you. You can find a CKA in your area when you go to faithfi.com and click Find a Professional. I hope that's helpful for you. Now, just a quick reminder as we head into this next break, don't call in. Our team is not here today, but we have some great questions we've lined up in advance. Those will be coming just on the other side of this break. A quick reminder, if you'd like to support our work, you can do that on our website, faithfi.com. Just click Give. More to come on Faith and Finance right after this. We'll be right back.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. Thegodwhospeaks.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. Occasionally, there are those that have a more complicated financial situation. If that's you, we would love to set up a phone consultation with our team and Rob West, host of Faith Fi on American Family Radio. We will go over your specific situation. If you are interested, please give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or you can visit us at afafoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, help you make decisions in light of God's word as you're a steward of God's resources. Let's go to South Carolina. Hi, Susan. Go right ahead.
Hi. My question is this. We've taken financial classes before, and they encourage you to pay off your home and any debt like that. Well, my son took, he's a Christian, but he took another financial class. The person tells them to borrow against your rentals and things like that and buy more rentals. He's very successful at it. So I'm just wondering, is that biblically correct or not?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I mean, there are clear warnings in Scripture around debt. And so you just need to heed those warnings, and that's all they are. It's not that borrowing is a sin by any means, but you know, you just have to be careful, because anytime you borrow money, it's a master-slave relationship. You know, are you in surety or in debt if you have an asset that exceeds the value of the loan against it? I mean, you know, technically no, because at any point, theoretically, you could sell the asset and pay off the debt. So as long as you use the leverage or the debt responsibly, then it can be an effective tool for a business, any business, whether it's a laundromat or a rental property business or buying and flipping homes. You know, debt can be a tool to grow your business. Because it allows you to expand, in this case, his portfolio of real estate faster than if he were to have to buy everything with cash. But he has to be careful, because that debt service, meaning the monthly payment to cover the principal and interest, is on top of, you know, his business operations. And so he needs to make sure he's got good cash flow. And that if we went into, you know, a recession, I mean, let's say, you know, 18 months from now, we're in a deeper than expected recession. And, you know, he has trouble getting tenants, and he's got multiple properties all leveraged, meaning they have debt on them. He's got all the carrying costs. I mean, could he put himself in a situation where he loses his business? He could lose some of those properties. And that's why it's important not to mix your personal finances, just so it doesn't spill over. For instance, if he borrowed against his primary residence to buy a rental property, and now the business goes sideways and he's got difficulty, you know, keeping the renters in there, and he struggles to make the payment, well, now all of a sudden he's putting his personal residence at risk. So I would say, just as a rule of thumb, ideally you'd buy your personal residence with at least 20% down, meaning you have, 20% equity, 80% leveraged. With a rental property, I'd love for that number to go up. I mean, it'd be great if he could have at least 50% equity in each of these properties, meaning no more than 50% borrowed. That just keeps the debt service reasonable, so that as long as he can keep these rented fairly consistently, even if there's some gaps, he shouldn't have any trouble, you know, through the rental income, covering the expenses, the principal, interest, the taxes, the insurance, the maintenance, you know, all the expenses that go along with holding rental properties, and still hopefully have something left over as income to himself. But there's a lot of information I've just thrown at you there. What? Give me your thoughts.
No, that sounds good. He's really good about doing this right. He probably, half of them he owns outright, and then the other half he has a little bit borrowed on him. So he is just using this as a way to buy other things. So
he's done
a very good job. I just wasn't sure, because the class we took said you pay off all your debt. You don't have any debt. So it was a little bit confusing for me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think the key here is, I mean, again, borrowing is not a sin. Is it wise to get out of debt, you know, as soon as you can? Absolutely. Because then you're unencumbered. It gives you more flexibility. You can follow the leading of the Lord. You know, it just keeps your overall lifestyle expenses lower. I mean, those are all good things. Is it possible to be completely debt-free? It is. It's challenging, especially now. If you want to buy a house, especially if you're just starting out, it's difficult to do it with the average home being $420,000 without taking on some debt. And with a business, it's a little different just because so often, you know, most businesses use some measure of debt, you know, for normal operations. And that's just, you know, very common. And it's not any different with a real estate business where you're buying and selling rental property. So hopefully that helps you. Thanks for being on the program, Susan. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Buffalo. Hi, Andrew. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Thanks so much for taking my question. Appreciate you and your ministry.
Thanks.
I'm 30 years old. I just finished medical residency. I have a wife who stays at home with our three children, and we're expecting another one in the next week or so. I just bought myself disability insurance, and my question today is about life insurance. My wife and I both have a policy for $500,000 each, but we were looking to increase definitely my policy. And the person with whom I'm working is talking to me about term, which is something that we have now and wanted to keep, but then conversion to whole life and all these kind of odd ends and things like that. And I'm kind of getting confused about all of it. So I was wondering, is there any situation where you would recommend buying some sort of whole life and any of the bells and whistles that come with it?
Yeah, you know, I'm not someone who says there's never a place for whole life, but I think they're few and far between. I mean, it'd be for somebody who's got a business with a buy-sell agreement where you need permanent life insurance to pay for that, you know, buy-sell agreement at your death, or you have a lifelong dependent, maybe a special needs adult child. But apart from that, I would rather you buy pure insurance and get as much insurance as you need. So for you, it's probably at least 12 times your income as a starting point, and then you might want to add on to it. You know, some people will add the kids' college. They might add the mortgage so your wife could pay off the mortgage, fund the kids' college, and then turn the 12 times your income into an income stream. So I think term insurance is the way to get that the most reasonable cost because it's pure insurance. You probably want to get a 20 or 30 year policy and you're going to replace it a few times throughout your working career. And then I'd save outside of insurance products and starting with a company sponsored plan. And then maybe beyond that, a Roth IRA or other tools. But I wouldn't do my saving as a 30-year-old in a life insurance product. I've got to take a break, but I want to get your thoughts, so stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. Let's go to Springfield, Illinois. Hi, Elizabeth. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband left me in April, but he wants to stay married till next October to keep the insurance. And he left me with $100,000, and we had bought a very cheap home when he retired from his job because he was afraid that the pension was going to go broke. And he had also asked me to sign off on the pension so he could get the full amount. Well, lo and behold, the pension, they revived it, and so now he's getting the full amount, and I won't get any survivor's pension because I signed off on it. So, he left me with that $100,000, and I have a... already spent $20,000, $10,000 on the house and $10,000 on bills. So I had asked him for maintenance, and I want maintenance money. And I wonder if you think that's greedy or if that's reasonable.
No, that's very reasonable. Have you engaged with an attorney about all of this?
Well, that's kind of what happened. And then I told my husband that I had talked to an attorney. He hasn't really spoke to me at all since April. So I texted him that I had talked to an attorney and that they had suggested an amount. So now he's telling me he's going to divorce me right now and take half of everything. But like I said, I told him that the money that I have right now was in case something were to happen to him, because I would get no more money because I didn't get any pension. When we sold our house, when he retired, that was supposed to go into an account in case something did happen to him, seeing that we bought the cheap house.
Yeah. Oh, Elizabeth, I'm so sorry. And, you know, clearly it sounds like he's abandoned you apart from this one text exchange that you've had. I think you need somebody to walk alongside you just from a legal perspective to make sure that you are taken care of as a part of this. I mean, clearly, there needs to be somebody who's looking out for, your best interest as a part of this. And clearly no one is at this point. So I think we need to leave it up to the courts, and that's perfectly appropriate. So it sounds like you do have an attorney that you've talked to?
I spoke with an attorney, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That would be the direction that I would go. I mean, if you want another opinion or something, you could contact your church and see if there's a believer in your church who could help you. But you need somebody who can walk alongside you. You're certainly not being greedy. I think what you're describing here is perfectly appropriate. And you don't need to leave it up to him to make sure you're protected and provided for. You need to, at this point, because he's vacated the situation, you need to leave it up to the court. So I would say to your question, no, you're not being greedy, and you need some wise counsel and some legal assistance in this.
Okay. I appreciate your comment. Thank you so
much. Absolutely. Yeah. Lord bless you. We'll certainly be praying that the Lord will watch over you and guide every step here. I know this is challenging. Thanks for calling today. Let's go to Chicago. Hi, Rod.
Hey, Rob. How are you? I enjoy your program
thank you.
Through the week. I was listening last week, and you brought up something with Social Security and spouse benefit. My question is, I'm still working, and I'm 65, and I'm going to keep working probably till I get my full Social Security at 67. My question is, if I draw the full amount and my wife decides to draw off of my Social Security, and you said it was up to half, do I still get the full amount, or does when she draw the half cut into my full amount?
Yeah, it has no bearing on the amount you'll get. So you get a retirement benefit equal to your high 35, whatever your Social Security benefit statement says you will get at full retirement age. And then as a spouse, she can either collect on her own work record or she can get spousal benefits, which is up to half of yours, but it has no bearing on your benefit. Now, you have to walk through the door first. So as long as you begin taking your benefits, then she can collect the spousal benefits. Now, if she takes it prior to her full retirement age, she's going to get it further reduced. So 50% is the max she can get, and it will go down from there. But if she waits until her full retirement age and you've already started collecting, then she can get up to half of yours as a spousal benefit, and that will not impact what you're getting one bit.
Okay, because I had no idea that the spouse could get half of my Social Security, which is no problem.
Yes. Yeah. So the spouse can get either half of the spouse's benefit up to that amount or their own work record benefit, either the higher of the two, not both.
Okay. I appreciate the answer. And I thank you and God bless.
All right. Thanks. And you as well. Thanks for being on the program. Let's go to South Carolina. Danae, how can I help you?
Hey. Okay, so I was trying to figure out how to pay off my credit card because the interest rate was just extremely too high. It's changed after X amount of years. And I knew I couldn't do it, but I was still trying to, and it was just going to dig a deeper hole. And I was getting out the car one day, and I was like, Lord, please help me with this debt. And I got in the car, and as soon as I got in the car, the radio station was like, Christian credit counselors. And I was like, oh, wow, God answered my prayer immediately. And then I was like, or was that the enemy? So then I started doing my research, and I was concerned about Christian credit counselors being legit or not, just because I was like, was that me? Was that God? Like, was that really God, or was that the devil trying to get me scammed?
Sure. Well, Danae, I'm glad you called, and I can vouch for them only because they've been a longtime partner of ours here at FaithFi and underwriter of this program for years, and they've literally worked with thousands of our listeners over the years. And I can't tell you we've ever had anybody send us an email or call with a complaint. So they're a nonprofit. They're all believers. We know them well, just in terms of relationally, that we've just so enjoyed them. And, what they will do is not only get on the phone and encourage you and pray with you and help you set up your budget, but they'll analyze the credit cards that you have. And the reason that debt management, which is what Christian Credit Counselors does, is my preferred option is you're not taking out a new loan. You're not stopping payments and getting behind and trashing your credit. You're sliding into a program that already exists, but you can only access it through a nonprofit credit counseling agency, which they are, which just means you'll have one level monthly payment, probably about 3% of the balance, and the interest rates will come down. And the combination of the level payment, the lower interest rates, means you'll pay this back on average about 80% faster. So I think it's absolutely the direction to go, and there is nothing that, in my view, you should be concerned about.
Awesome sauce. Thank you. And then there was one more question. Is it a debt consolidation or the nonprofit is just totally separate?
Yeah, so when debt consolidation generally means taking out a new loan to pay off the existing loans, and then you pay back the new loan on new terms. That's not what we're talking about here. This is not debt consolidation. It's also not debt settlement, where you stop paying and try to negotiate a lower payback. This is debt management, what's called credit counseling or debt management, and there's no consolidation. The debts stay right where they are. The interest rates come down, and you just pay those original creditors that you're currently with by way of Christian Credit Counselors. So you send the payment to Christian Credit Counselors. They forward it on to your creditors, but they do so at much lower interest rates. Thanks for calling today. We'll be right back.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
You can't sit this election out. I know a lot of Christians do. This is true that God is sovereign. I tell you that all the time. But they fancy that somehow that is separate from their personal responsibility. We are his hands and feet. And so that's why we have to do what's right. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and just doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
Sandy Rios 24/7 with your host, Sandy Rios. Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Let's head right back to the phones. Holland, Michigan is where we're headed. Dave, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about reverse mortgages.
All right.
My wife and I'm 65. My wife is 66. She does not work anymore and has taken her Social Security at 62. I won't take mine till 67. We bought a condo 4 months ago for $280,000. It's probably worth $300,000, and we financed $80,000. Plan on staying there forever. It's our last one. And wondered if a reverse mortgage on the $80,000 was a smart idea.
Yeah, it could be. So essentially, what that would do is eliminate the monthly payments on that $80,000. Are you having trouble making those, or could you use that money kind of in your budget?
No,
or things tight?
It's just we don't have a tremendous amount set aside for retirement, but we should be able to make it on Social Security and that. Just wondered if saving the interest on all those payments or what the interest on a reverse mortgage would be. My kids don't, none of them have an interest in the condo when we're done with it.
So the interest on the reverse mortgage would be similar to the current interest rates now. So right now, around 7%. There would be an additional fee up front, which is what pays the FHA insurance, which ensures that you would never owe more than the house is worth. So you're not personally obligating yourself. It's non-recourse debt with a home equity conversion mortgage or a reverse mortgage, but there's a 2% charge on the loan value right up front. So that would be on $80,000. You know, you'd have $1,600 for that insurance, and then you'd have the closing costs, and then you'd have the interest, which would be similar to the prevailing rate right now. And then that $80,000, if you didn't pay it back, which you'd be able to with the reverse mortgage, there's no prepayment penalty. You just don't have to make a payment. That would, the balance plus the fees and the interest, it would just grow over time. And then at your death, or if you all ever sold the condo, it would be paid back. And then whatever remains by way of equity in the condo would be distributed to your heirs. So I think the only reason why you would want to do it is if, you know, you money was tight. You know, so for instance, if at least between now and when your wife starts taking hers, you could let that continue to grow. And then you could, you know, at least eliminate your mortgage payment between now and then. So for the next, let's say, 5 years or so, you know, you all would no longer have a mortgage payment, and that would obviously create more cash flow for you to meet your obligations. And then at that point, when you have her Social Security, you could start paying some back, or you could just, again, just let it ride. And then whatever that balance is at your death would be paid back out of the sale of the home. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So we have to try to calculate what that balance would be at the end. You know, it would never be more than what the condo's worth, correct?
Exactly. So, I mean, the worst case scenario is there's nothing left because, you know, although I will say if you're only borrowing $80,000 and you're not going to take any more, I mean, you could not only cover the $80,000, but you could also get an income stream beyond that for the rest of your life. But if all you did was borrow the $80,000 and it's growing at 7% or whatever the rates are going to be because they're variable, so they'll come down as rates come down, your condo is going to continue to appreciate. So there would be some equity there at death that would then, again, be paid out to the kids. But the kids don't want the condo. You know, that may not be a concern. What may be a bigger concern to you right now is just having a little bit more flexibility in your financial life, and eliminating that mortgage payment would certainly do that.
Right. And where could I get information sent to me? Or
yeah. So two things I can do. One is if you stay on the line, I'll send you a book called Understanding Reverse, which is just a really helpful, easy read on understanding what reverse mortgages are. That'll be our gift to you. And then if you want to talk to somebody, I'd reach out to our friends at Movement Mortgage. They've been a partner of ours. They're trusted, run by godly individuals that are Christ followers. And the person who oversees their reverse mortgage department, Harlan Akala, who joins us regularly on this broadcast, is just a delight to talk to, and he could answer all of your questions. Just go to movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith, and you can put your information in there.
Very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate
Stay on the
it.
Line. You're welcome. We'll get that book right out to you, Dave. God bless you, sir. Let's go to Columbus. Hi, Sandy. How can we help?
Hi, Rob. I have, to me, it seems convoluted, but I think it's probably simple. Trying to need a new car. I'm 70. I'm retired. So I have a good monthly income, but I'm trying to figure out if I should go ahead and pay off my home, which I owe $27,000 on, or I should, which of course would be a higher payment, or get a car, which I need, which could be maybe around 20, and lower payments, but I'd rather not have two payments. And I'm unsure about where I pull that money from.
Yeah. So I understand you've got the $27,000 mortgage, 70 and retired, and the car that you need, you think you need to spend about, or you're looking to spend about $20,000. What are you doing right now for transportation?
I have a car, but it's a 2012, and it has 160,000 miles on it.
Okay. Is it, does it need extensive repairs, or is it in fairly good working order?
It doesn't need extensive repairs. No.
Mm-mm. Okay. All right.
I think it's more about my feeling of security.
Yeah. And I can certainly understand that. You know, the last thing you want to do is be stuck somewhere because the car, you know, doesn't work. I mean, you can help with that by, you know, getting a membership to, you know, some service that'll come out and you know, take care of that. But obviously, you know, as a 70-year-old female, I can understand why you would want to have a worthwhile and trustworthy car. Let's talk about the assets that you have, because I know that would be the next question, is where do we pull from to either pay off the house or, you know, buy the car? So what do you have available?
I have, I retired from public service, so I have deferred comp, and I have about 190 in there. Okay. I have, in my credit union, I have probably around, I think it's around 20, and 8 of that is in a money market. So okay. Other than that, I have some money in my checking account, which I really hate to admit, but I had loaned a business I had been in some money, and when it came back to me, I couldn't put it back in deferred comp. So it's been sitting in my account, and it's about $20,000 as well. Checking okay. account.
Okay, so you've got about $50,000 all in between the 8 and the 220s. Is that right?
The 8 and the 220s.
I think
yes,
you said you have $20,000. Yeah, without the buying the car, you have about $50,000 in cash.
Yes.
Okay. So what do you spend on a monthly, typical month?
In general?
Yeah, just on the average month. What do you think your total expense is roughly?
I'm probably, I have some, well, about $3,000.
Okay. So if we wanted 6 months worth of expenses, that'd be $18,000. You know, let's call it $20,000. So if you just kept the $20,000 in the credit union and you pulled the $8,000 and the $20,000 that's in checking and paid off the house, which that would do it, you would all of a sudden at that point you'd still have more than 6 months worth of expenses in liquid reserves. And now you'd free up the monthly payment that you were sending for the condo or for the house, at least the not the taxes and the insurance, but at least the principal and interest. Do you know how much that is every month that you'd now be saving?
I couldn't tell you that right okay. now. I didn't think about looking that up.
Yeah, that's okay. So that would be one thing, is if you're really set on, I only want to have one loan, then, you know, I would be comfortable with you paying off the house, still having 6 months worth of expenses in the bank, plus your income stream, not touching your deferred comp so that can continue to grow, and then taking that monthly payment that you were sending to the house, principal and interest, and now using that, or probably hopefully a lot less than that, but some of that for the new car payment, not the new car, but new to you. And then whatever is left that you're not using for the car payment, you're now building back up your emergency savings. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yep.
Okay. That would be one option. The other option is you leave the home the way it is and you just buy the car outright with the $20,000 that's in your checking account that's from that business.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and now we're not adding a new payment, and then you just focus on paying off the house over time, and now you've still got $28,000 in savings, which is even more, than 6 months, because that would give you, you know, if you're spending, $3,000 a month, that would give you 9 months worth of expenses. So I think you could go either way: buy the car outright and still have 9 months expenses, or pay off the house and still have 6 months expenses, and then just save the difference between the new car payment and the mortgage payment that you're now no longer paying.
Yeah. Thank you.
You are welcome. Well, I'm glad, and I appreciate your call today. All the best to you, Sandy. Thanks for being on the program. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. I'm Rob West, and on behalf of my team today, producer Devin Patrick, call screener today Pat Montague, researcher Jim Henry, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're so grateful for our partnership with AFR, bringing you biblical wisdom as it relates to financial decision-making. Have a great day, and if you want to check out our website, go to faithfi.com. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.